Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go back down home and sing some of my old songs. Listen.
Down to the knees. The Lord has been good to me.
This morning, when you look back over your life, somebody ought to say, have mercy, Lord. Oh, he brought us, not just you, not just me, but a whole lot of us. He brought us from a mighty long way. Oh, and so for that reason, we come on this bright, sunny morning. Getting warm in the last few days of May. In fact, it's beginning to get hot. So we come to glorify his name that we may be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Lord has been good to us. David said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice. We shall. He didn't say, I'm going to do it by myself, because I know I ain't the only one that I should be rejoicing. Everyone should be rejoicing this morning. And he says, let us go into the house, hold up the Lord together. He doesn't say come one by one, but he said come one another. Come as a group, entering into his house, that we may worship him this morning. Well, church, we are in the very last Sunday of the month of May, the fifth month of this new year. And as I've said, and I keep saying it over and over and over again, that time is waiting for no one. Time certainly is running out. And we don't know where the time is going. And one point, on one hand, it's good, and on the other, it's not so good. If I had to be the judge of it, for some would rejoice and say that means the Lord is soon to come, and others would say not ready, not ready, not ready, just a little longer. Can you hold out just a little longer before you decide to come this way? Amen?
Amen.
But nevertheless, if the truth be told, he's coming. And it says he's coming back with the church first. And that itself is good news to know that you're in that number. John said in the book of Revelation, he spoke about 144,000 that was coming dressed in white. But he says that there was another number. Oh, hallelujah, somebody, that I could not count. A great multitude coming to worship his name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And amen. This morning, I think I'm going to carry you to the Epistle of Jude. And I think I'll read for just a few verses of the book of Jude this morning for your listening pleasure. And I think I'll read down to verse number six or seven. However, the Holy Ghost will direct and guide me this morning. Amen. I'll give you a few more moments to arrive at the Epistle of Jude. Jude, the very first chapter of Jude. I'll be starting at verse number one when you get there. Jude is the half-brother of James, which is also the brother of Jesus Christ. Jude. They are half because it says that their daddies were different. You know that the Holy Spirit was the impregnator of Mary, and apparently Joseph was the father of the rest. And it does not really mention Joseph after the task that he had done. He had completed his mission. So God decided to put him back up on the shelf. He has served his purpose. Are we there yet? All right, pray with me and pray for me as I attempt to read this morning. And the word of the Lord says, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and the brother James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into less covetousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord continues, verse number 5 says, will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. Believe. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. I'm going to stop right there at verse number 7. 7 starts with, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm going to quit right there. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the doing of his word. Jude, the half-brother of James, which were the half-brothers of Jesus the Christ. Eternal God, our Father, we come this morning with hearts of thanksgiving, thanking you, Heavenly Father, for another Sunday, a Sunday once again we shall never see again. We thank you, O Lord, for our early morning rising that we had our minds stayed on thee as we continue to press forth to the holiday that will come just a couple of days from now. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that as we enter into the midst on this memorial, that as we remember those who gave their lives, that we will remember those who have lost their lives here in the city of Baltimore, as well as those who gave their lives. We realize, O Lord, that the total now is 134, and it's still counting. But yet, Lord, we're waiting on you, because we know that you have the answer. And we know this morning, Lord, as we read in your word, it stated the fact to believe those that did not believe. And it's up to us to believe now, for you have blessed us from a mighty long way. You have kept us for the last 2 years. And we really have something to believe in. And so for that, we say thank you. We thank you, Lord, for those who are pressing their way out this morning and trying to make it, O Lord, to the house of faith one more time. We thank you, O Lord, for those that wanted to come this morning but could not come for whatever reason. We pray, O Lord, that you will continue to bless them in a mighty way. We pray, O Lord, that you will continue to spread your blanket of protection around this sanctuary, around these now your people. Continue to lead, guide them in the way that you would have them to go. And now, Lord, as we continue in this service, we pray for the woman of God as she comes forth this morning to break the bread of life, O Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord, that you would give her what she needs, that she can feed your people. This we ask in Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen. 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 And glory to God. And hallelujah. Hallelujah this morning. Praise his name. I see the drummer is here this morning, and
it looks as though that he's well rested and he's over there messing around, so he knows what he's doing. I'm going to leave him alone and let him do what he does. You go ahead and continue to get your tools set in order. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we are coming into the Memorial Day week, and certainly there's a lot to be thankful for, realizing that there have been men and women who have stepped to the plate, raised the right hand, took an oath of office, and so many have lost their lives to protect this country. And as we continue into the holiday, let us not forget about the fact of the chaos that is going on, not only in the city of Baltimore, the state of Maryland, but throughout the United States, Ukraine and Russia. Let us keep them in our prayers and certain other places. The thing is that so many of us seem not to believe, and you have called us to believe that we may be witnesses. And then not only that, you took it upon yourself, because you are the Creator, who watched over us for the last 2 years, even during the time that we did not have the sanctuary to come together in unity and in strength. You provided shelter for us. You kept us from the hurt, the harm, the danger, the COVID, and all these other things that are going on in the world. And even now, other little plagues are beginning to rise up, but we know that there is a God. Hallelujah, somebody that sits high and looks low and has the answer to the prayers. Whatever your prayer is, God not only has a solution, but he has an answer for it. And for that, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that we have a place that we can come out this morning to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the members who have come this morning. Again, we thank the drummer, Earl, who has pressed his way on Robin, and we thank her, Sister Jones, Sister Kat, Sister Cole, we call it, and Sister Ann, and Sister Rose. We thank you all this morning who have pressed your way out just before the holiday. And as I mentioned earlier, that just don't think about firing up the grill and preparing drinks and food for tomorrow, but also think about the less fortunate. Think about those who have loved ones that have gone on to a higher calling in Christ Jesus. Pray for them and pray with them that they may be able to obtain comfort. This may perhaps be the very first Memorial Day. And by chance, if we get the time early tomorrow morning, rise up and go pay respects to those that have gone on, whoever it may be, a father, a mother, sister, or brother, those that have served in the military. Just take a few moments of your precious time and go out to just say thank you. Thank you for a job well done. Thank you for your sacrifice. Amen. Amen. I'm going to just take a moment and go back into the Epistle of Jude this morning that was read for your listening pleasure. And here we find that Jude, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, is writing this epistle letter to focus on the hypocrisy. That means the fact of the chaos and the falseness that was being put out to bring them back into remembrance. The fact that it was his brother, his half-brother, who came into this world, bled and died on the cross, who shed his blood, that we would have a right to eternal life. And the fact that so many people were rising up back during this time and some were preaching a false gospel, not really telling the truth, not really telling the fact as to who Jesus was. In fact, they were preaching it for their own self, that they perhaps would somewhat receive glory. He talks about the fact is how they were embarrassing themselves with the teaching. Jude reminds his readers of God's judgment, and he reminds us of his judgment when we go against the grain and the will of God to add on and to take away from the scriptures and to put ease in certain things and to subtract certain things from other things. And my wife and I this morning, prior to coming down here to complete setting up the sanctuary this morning, early we was sitting there getting ready and we was talking about the different Bibles that had been written for our reading pleasure, and how at one point in time, if you didn't have the King James Bible and you were studying and reading from the King James Bible, that you was not really reading the Bible. And we talked about the fact as how all of the other Bibles that have been put into to writing today, and people are drawing from the Message Bible, the Living Word Bible, the Good News Bible, the American Standard Bible, the NIV. All of them have something to add. And the reason why I say that, yes, the King James is what they would say is number one. But because of how we are and that we are God's people, we gravitate to things separately. And not only separately, but some gravitate quicker than others. In other words, there has to be a clearer understanding. And by all of these other Bibles that have come into play today, you can look at the Bible as something that seems to be fuzzy. And you want to get a clear understanding to have it broken down into layman's terms. You can look at the Bible, especially if it's some type of study Bible, and the words are recorded somewhat different. It pertains and means pretty much the same, but it gives you a better understanding as to what that particular scripture that you're reading is really talking all about. Like you say, oh, now I get it. I understand what that scripture mean. It was a little cloud over my head, but now the sun is beginning to shine. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. So all of these Bibles add to the purpose add to a clearer and a better understanding of God's word and give you a good feel of it, a good supper, a good taste of what the Bible is saying to you. And it's good to preach. It's good to preach, but we also have to proclaim and explain. I mean, we have to proclaim and also preach and teach the word of God. And sometimes people learn better by the teaching method as to oppose as the preaching method. Yesterday, I think there was a preacher on. We were looking at the preacher, and we both looked at each other, and we smiled, and we see that went over their head because they didn't get the gist as to what the preacher was saying. And sometimes you have to calm down. It's good to have education. It's good to matriculate at the higher institutions and have studied well. But God puts you there for the people, and everybody don't learn the same. And we as men and women of God, we have to understand it and bring it to the realization that we got to take it and we got to put it on a plate and separate it where they can get a clear understanding as to what the word of God means and as to what it is pertaining to. Amen? Amen. So Jude was writing this epistle, and he was explaining to the fact that there are false teachers, and there are false teachers today. And the word of God let us know that men will be lover of themselves. They will refuse to preach the gospel in its entirety. They have preached some form of gospel, but not the gospel in its entirety. Their main objective is to get you, to get you hope. And I believe it was week before last, they talked about how Satan manipulates. He did it in the garden with Adam and Eve, and how he continues to go to and fro, seeking to find who he made the vow. And he does it well. A preacher mentioned yesterday how he comes into the church. He's here. If they come into the church, they're in the pulpits. I don't care where it is. They sit at the front door. They sit at the back door. They sit in the pulpit. They sit on the front pew. But they're in the midst. And they're there for a reason. That is to get you confused, to mix you up, to mix up your mind, and to turn you around, and to say that this gospel that has been presented to you is false. Just like you said in the garden, it's false. Surely you would not die. You know, but God has sent his son. And in the book of John, in the end, it talks about the fact that many other signs and things that Jesus do, but this has been written that you may believe. And the word is to believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came that we will have a right to eternal life. Amen?
Amen,
amen somebody. I'm going to ask the pastor if she has anything to come before the congregation at this time, and if not, then we shall play a song. And I'm going to say, Earl, I don't know if he can play. I've been playing the last two songs for the last couple of Sundays. So if he can play with it, fine. If he can't, it's understandable. But next Sunday, we're going to have something for you. So as they say, be ready, be ready, be ready, be ready. Be ready. God has blessed you for three Sundays. God has certainly smiled upon you. He's looking out for you. Apparently, you have an edge that we don't have. But he's taking you under his wing of protection. And he's blessing you in a mighty way. Now, you know, when much is given, according to the word, when much is given, much also is going to be required. So much is going to be required for you. Skate while you can, as you say. But that day is going to come when God is going to call back and say, all right, Earl, it's your time. You're on. You got it. Amen. Amen. All right. Pastor, you have anything you want to come? All right. I'm going to step back as she steps forward.
Giving honor to God this morning. I just want to mention that I did include some blue flowers in our plants this morning, just a little. And I was expecting, I got an email saying that the rose would be here Friday, which was Friday. But there has been a delay in the rose because of some kind of train or delay in the train or something. And they said they would be coming. So I'm hoping that they'd be here next week. Amen.
Amen.
And tickets are going good. For me, they're going good. I don't know about for you, but for me, they're going good. And hopefully I went and got some plates and cups and things like that. I'm just doing a little bit at a time. So we still got a month or so. Amen.
Amen.
Church, amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. So we want to thank the pastor for stepping forward this morning and stepping up to give the congregation proper information to let you know that the robes are somewhere in the midst. They're traveling, but they just haven't arrived at 8261 yet. And hopefully between now and next week, we come into the sanctuary, that she will be able to bring and present those robes that she's so excited about. And I hope that you are excited as well, that God is blessing and he's moving in this place. And he moves in his time, not our time. We like things quick, fast, and in a hurry. And if it would be our will, we would have this sanctuary full right now. But God is taking time to bring people in. And certainly we're gonna wait on the Lord, because we know that he never does anything haphazardly. He adds to the church those who he want to bring in. And that's good in a sense of speaking, because as I spoke in earlier, as I spoke about how Satan does things and he comes in, tips in with that smile on his face, and he or she scratches their head or wipe their face and give you that little shifty smile, and you know something is up. And God has placed a blanket of protection around us, and certainly want to continue to have that blanket of protection around us. Well, this morning, if you notice, the bishop is wearing two shoes, and it feels good. But Bishop also wants y'all to know I'm not gonna overdo it. It's taken some time. I'm gonna say almost a course of 2 years to actually get back into a tennis shoe where I can really wear it. And I'm not gonna overdo it today. I got an affair to go to tomorrow morning at the cemetery, and I'm gonna wear those slippers tomorrow morning out there. I'm gonna take time and let this foot get back into the right perspective. And I'm just jumping and shouting for joy that I can put a shoe on. And I want y'all to know my feet is actually shrunk. There's a somewhat looseness in the shoe. Now, I don't know whether that's good or it's bad, but nevertheless, right now, the shoe does feel good. I thank the Lord for allowing me to put that shoe on this morning. My wife said, well, how do you feel? I said, I'm taking a second at a time. And if I get down in, I put the rest up, good. If I can't, I bought the slippers. They're in the study. I'll slip out of these and slip them right back on just to relieve the foot. And like I said, it's been almost 2 years, and they had to do some surgery last week in order to correct the problem. And in fact, the doctor did leave me out somewhat. And I took it pretty good. I'm not one to follow instructions. But not only did he leave me out, he went out there and talked to her. He said, you follow up what I say. So he said, you make sure you, I got to go back to him Tuesday evening and see him again. So I'm looking to have a good report when I return to him, and I'll continue to put on shoes and tennis shoes more often. But I won't be a fool as I was. And he informed me of the fact that he was almost too late. You know, you have this problem with diabetes, and God has blessed you. And I didn't look at it like that, but I look at it like that now. Amen.
Amen.
Sometimes it pays you to listen when people say things to you. Amen. And I hear this in the back of me. Yeah. I don't need no confirmation. God has already given me the confirmation. All right. I won't try your patience this morning. We're going to play a song, and then we will come back during the song with the tithes and the offerings, come back and pray with the tithes and the offerings. And we're going to let you go today as soon as the one of God comes and brings us with the word. We shall come back with some final remarks, have the benediction, and let's leave this place and pray and hope that you will have not only a wonderful Sunday, but a blessed Memorial Day as it comes in. Amen? Amen. Pastor has also said, I'm not sure. Aquah, y'all singing today?
Yes.
Oh, y'all singing? Yes. Y'all singing? Oh, okay. No, don't nobody tell a bishop anything. You know, I found out through the grapevine. Thank you, little bird. All right. Here we go. I hope it's all in order.
I was a wretched man, living in a world of sin. Had no hope, no peace within. Somebody told me what Jesus did, that he gave his life, died for my sin.
Church, amen. And amen again. I don't know who we played that for this morning, but somebody needed to hear, to have heard that song. Somebody stuck in the dark this morning, don't know which way to turn or who to turn to. And the songwriting song this morning, you ought to come to Jesus. You don't try Satan. You don't try everything else, Pastor B. It's time to try Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah and glory to His name. I feel as though I might want to preach that morning. Is that all right? Oh, no, I won't do that this morning. Amen. Certainly the tithes and the offerings have been collected. And certainly, Father, we thank you for the tithes and the offerings that have been collected at this time. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that you will show us how we ought to continue to use it for the upkeep and the this particular building. Lord, give us the directions that we ought to go. We pray, O Lord, for those that gave and for those that wanted to give but could not give this morning. We ask, O Heavenly Father, as you have done so many times in the past, that you open up those windows of heaven and pour them out a blessing that they won't have room enough to receive, that they too may come running, jumping, shouting for joy, to return that portion unto you which you have required of your people. This we ask in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavens.
Amen. Amen. And we thank you for your participation. Well, it's preaching time here at Caesarea, and we have a preacher in the house.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. She's been chained up for the last week and a half, and it's time to loose her. Turn her loose and let her go. And certainly that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to loose her and let her go. That the Lord's will be done, and that the pastor will have her way. And as she steps to the pulpit, and as I step back, I'm going to ask this rear up. Before then, I'm sorry. I do apologize. The celestial choir, I understand this morning, will be singing a song of preparation. Amen. So down the conclusion of the Caesarea Celestial Choir, the next voice you will hear will be that the pastor of the Caesarea Christian Community Chapel. Hear ye her when she comes. Amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, precious of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song.
I'll sing it, children.
Praying my Savior,
oh, praise the Lord.
This is my song, praising my Savior all day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending,
bring
from above. Echoes of mercy, whisper of love. This is my story.
This is my story.
This is my song.
This is my song.
Praising my Savior.
Yes, praising the mighty God.
All day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior. All day long, perfect submission, all is at rest. I'm a Savior and happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love.
This is
my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all day long.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead, Celestial Choir. Go ahead. Let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, I present this Sunday to you and ask that you would bless our families, bless our households, this church, and all other churches. Lord, give us the wisdom and discernment we will need for this day. Guide our steps and help us to be your hands and your feet to this world.
Yes.
This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 This morning, we're coming from the book of Romans, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 7. When you have it, say amen. The book of Romans, chapter 15, verses 1 through 7. Say amen when you have it. Romans 15. Amen. And it reads as thus, we then that are strong are to hear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one towards another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may be with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. I have read for your hearing Romans, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 7. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. My title this morning is Weak But Worth It. Weak but worth it. And in our text, Paul wants you to know that if you are weak in your spirituality, that you should not despair, because those that are strong should be stepping in to help. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let me begin this message by asking you a few questions. How strong are you? Are you strong in the spirit? Or in the mind, or in both? Are you strong in body and spirit, but weak in the mind, or are you strong in all three? Are you weak when it comes to physical temptations and strong when it comes to mental stress? In our text, Paul wants to know if you are weak in any of these areas, that you should not despair, because those that are strong should be stepping in to help. Who are the strong Paul is referencing? What do the strong do, and how do they help? He recounts the list for the strong. The strong is bear with the fallings of the weak, seek to please for the good of others. The strong is study the scriptures, have hope and faith, have a spirit of unity, encourage fellowship and fellowship of Jesus. The strong is accepting of others and bearing with the infirmities of the weak. Paul calls on the strong Christians to bear with the fallings of the weak. He calls on you that are strong in the Lord to lift up those around you. It is important to understand there are two types of believers. Hear me loud and clear. Both are saved. Strong, we then that are strong, mature in Christ and serving Christ. The Christian life is a personal one, as it is our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 5, Paul said, when for the time you ought to be teachers, spiritual maturity brings about strength in Christ. This is what God expects from all of us. Weak, infirmities of the weak. The word infirmity is normally used when mentoring sick, disease, or impotence. With our context, infirmity is descriptive of the immature child of God who remains in bondage instead of relishing in the liberty that are to have in Christ, or that we are to have in Christ. This portion of scripture is not written to the pastor alone. The strong speaks of those who are strong in their personal faith. They know they are saved and are servants. Are strong in the scriptures, they understand and can teach the doctrine of faith. Are strong in church, they are faithful to and serving in the local church. Are strong in tribulation, they are enduring and steadfast when trials come. They don't easily fall apart. The strong are those who live their lives for Christ and for others, but not self. It is our love for Christ that determines our life lived for Christ. It is our life lived for Christ that counts. We do not have the power to, in most instances, to take away the infirmities of the weak. We must do it all, and we can lift them up. Spiritual growth must come from within each of us individually. Spiritual maturity cannot be forced. You either want to grow in the Lord or you don't. It is a personal decision each believer must make for themselves. Spiritual maturity comes with much responsibility. This text tells us that the strong to take on the infirmities of the condition of the weaker person. There isn't any other way around bearing the infirmities of the weak. We must support, hold up, back, sustain those that are weaker in the faith, not grow angry with them, not grow frustrated with them, not grow annoyed with them, but support, uphold, back them, sustain them, and help them, because we recognize they are weaker in the faith. They're weak in the faith. Remember what Paul has told us in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 9:22. To the weak, I became weak. To the wind, the weak, I have become all things to all men, so that all possible means I might have some. We took on the infirmities of those around us for the glory of God and with people into the God's kingdom, which brings up a very important point. When you are talking with people into which the kingdom, are you trying to win them? You can't beat that person into growing spirituality. You can't criticize that person into growing spirituality. You can't verbally abuse that person into growing spirituality. Paul said we must learn to become what they need to help them grow. That means sometimes we have to get off our high holy horse and help them meet their need. There are those among us that are simply weak in the faith. And literally, they are weak in the faith or in their faith. I suspect that both elements are true. That is, the weak are those who have not yet come to the full realization of the freedom and the liberty which is a part of faith. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. It's in St. John 3:32. They are correspondingly weak in their personal faith. A limited understanding of nature and extent of grace limits subjective faith. As they have not yet come to understand Christian liberty, they do not accept it in the others. The weak can be immediately recognized by the frown of contempt on their face. And, oh no, look in their eyes, also disagreeing with the movement of the church, the kingdom of God. The standard this text sets for us is particularly the strong who this is aimed is also quite high. How many times have you successfully held your tongue? How many times have you let petty slights go without making a big deal of them? How many times have you been accused of slightly someone, but you could not even see the slight? How can you bear it? We can bear it when we learn to be led by the Spirit. We can bear it when we pause and look at them through the eyes of love. We can bear it when we realize that Jesus has forgiven us so much that more than that, whether you have been a Christian for 2 weeks or 20 years, you should be growing in your relationship with God. Being weak in the faith is not an exhortation. Spiritual growth is not automatic. You must choose to change if you want to grow. Spiritual growth is like driving that vehicle that was a stick shift. Anyone ever drove a stick shift before? I was always told I couldn't. Anyone ever drove that stick shift before? As you pick up the speed, you must manually shift to a higher gear. Spiritual growth takes the same type of effort on our part. We have to shift into spiritual maturity. When people first accept the Lord and catch a glimpse of what he says they can be, they are usually eager to change whatever needs to be changed. But as time passes, the process of growth can seem harder on the goal, so that distance that many are tempted to give up on the process. The result is many people never experience the level of spiritual maturity and victory God wants us to have. It has been said that change is the evidence of growth. While that may not be a very scientific definition, spiritually speaking, it's accurate. But simply, if you are not changing, you're not growing. When we begin to say things like that, yes, that's the way I am, we begin to say things like, I've been this way all my life. We begin to say things like, I'm too old to change now. Saved, but spiritually immature.
Yeah.
We who are strong are challenged to bear the infirmities of the weak. This means to put up with. We have a spiritual obligation to both long-suffering and with the exhortation of the weak. The word ought is the Greek word ophelio, and it means to be morally obligated to do something as an obligation. In other words, we are obligated to do this for others. After all the ways have helped us in our times of need, we are spiritually and morally obligated to do the same for others. But for whom are we to do this? This verse says we are to do this for those who are feeling overwhelmed with personal infirmities.
Mm-hmm.
The word infirmity is asthenia, and it describes those who are weak and powerless, struggling in some way, whether physically or emotionally. The word weak is the amdenators, which depicts those who are depleted of power due to something they have experienced or gone through that is rendered near weak. If you recall, Paul knew something about infirmities. In 2 Corinthians 12:9, it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, an infirmity that plagued and bothered him, but he learned to give it to the Lord and press forward in ministry. So I believe he selected the word infirmity and chose it wisely. He is referencing a spiritual infirmity. That is something that bothers or hinders and keeps us from growing spiritually. The Lord didn't wake up this morning just to allow us to come to church or to have a day and enjoy nice spring weather. We are blessed with each other that we may do service for others. Are you doing something for the good of your neighbor? Are the things that you do for the purpose of building them up or for tearing them down? Is there ever any doubt? It is always a good idea to stop and ask that very important question, why did I do that? What was my purpose in doing that? What was my purpose in saying that? And if the answer is something other than what Paul says, each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up, then we should rethink our actions. To grow strong or mature in the Lord, first thing we must do is to study the scriptures. Paul is advocating scripture memory. He is telling us to study the scripture for our own spiritual and mental health. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us. How can I be a Christian if I don't know what a Christian is supposed to do? How can he or she supposed to act? What is the scriptures for? The simple statement is not up to debate. It's straightforward. The Bible is a teaching tool, and you have to open your Bible more than just during responsive reading on Sunday mornings. Let me footnote here and say that I'm excited that the pastor, or let me say the bishop, I'm excited that the bishop goes over our Sunday school in the mornings. That early morning thing, that's him doing Sunday school instead of doing separately. We put it all together so that we can just come together. And the numbers continue to grow every time we have it. But still, there are too many that don't attend teaching opportunities. That's why we don't grow spiritually. And I'm amazed at how many Christians prioritize their spiritual growth. If you treat church as something you do, if you feel like it, then don't be surprised if you don't get fed at the place to worship. If you don't intentionally pursue knowledge about God through reading the Bible and of good books and listening to good podcasts, don't be surprised at the lack of spiritual fruit. If you don't prioritize a study of God's word, prayer, and the spiritual disciplines, you will not continue to grow. You will stay the same. And yes, you are saved, but spiritually weak. Let me say it again. A weak Christian is a saved Christian, but one who is lacking knowledge about certain things and just fall back off track easily by little things. When you go to your doctor for a routine checkup, the first thing your physician will do is check your vital signs. Is that right? Vital signs, and I know because we have a nurse in the house, vital signs are indicators of a strong or weak physical condition. In the same way, we have spiritual vital signs. And some indicate a strong spirit, but others can reveal a weak spiritual condition. If left undetected, a weak spirit will prevent you from receiving all that God has for you and prevent you from living in the fullness of what he desires for you. If your spiritual signs are weak, your physician will prescribe certain medications or therapy or even recommend surgery to correct the problem. Your physician will do whatever they can to get you to be a healthier point in your life. The Apostle Paul is saying that we are strong in the Lord, should have even more compassion for the weaker believer, and do all that we can to bear their weakness in any effort to help them grow in God's grace. As the strong continue to encounter the weaker believer, we must make sure we always have a welcome attitude and not quarrel over opinions. In other words, be accepting of the weaker brother or sister, and be sure as you fold them into your life, you keep a decisive question to a minimum. The strong and the weak should welcome each other because God has welcomed us. Paul says in Romans 15:7, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For the great foundation of our forbearance of one another is that God has accepted us in Jesus Christ. The weak and the strong believe in Christ who died for them. They are accepted by God in Christ. We should accept them with all our differences. Why would brothers and sisters in Christ ever become bitter towards one another? Don't we all profess to want nothing more than to please and obey God? Don't we all profess that we don't want to be those who say, Lord, Lord, do not do the things that our Lord says? Don't we want to tremble at the word of our Lord? Then we must learn how to identify those that are weaker and love them even more. I believe some of the problem in the local churches today is that we don't have enough strong Christians. The problem with most Christians today is that we are sitting on the premises instead of standing on the promises. The word needs to hear the truth. The world needs to hear the truth. We are not going to reach the world by opening our church doors for a few hours a week and dishing out our sermonettes. We don't want to do that. We have to get back to the business of teaching the body of Christ and how to grow and mature. We are strong in the Lord, have a great responsibility. We must learn how to take it. We must learn how not to be so thin-skinned. We must learn how to see God working and moving in every situation. We have to learn how to bear the infirmities of those that just don't get it. We must learn how to love them in the righteousness. Those that are strong have gone through the scriptures and found the promises. Those that are strong have gone through the scriptures and found the assurances. Those that are strong have gone through the scriptures and found the covenants. But most importantly, those that are strong have gone through the scriptures and found through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we have hope. When we are strong in the Lord, we can smile when everything is upside down. When we are strong in the Lord, we gain through Calvary. When we are strong in the Lord, we will open up the windows of heaven and pour out the blessings. We are strong in the Lord, we know what God can do. And we are strong in the Lord, we recognize no matter what we're going through, we don't go through it alone. The strong in the Lord are able to relate to the words of this hymn. Sing it with me. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. The woke me up this morning and started me on my way. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. He woke me up this morning. I was closing right back down. He didn't let me slay too late. He woke me up right on time. He woke me up this morning and started me on my way. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. I can't sing, y'all. I can't sing. But I did hear the celestial try to help me. Amen.
Let the church say amen. Oh, my, my, my. Oh, the Lord is blessing us. Right now. Right now. Hallelujah. Repeat after me, my brothers and sisters. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper?
Am I my brother's keeper?
Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. So we want to thank the pastor this morning for taking us to Romans, the 15th chapter, yes. As she poured out her heart about the strong and the weak, and how we that are the strong are to bear the burdens of the weak. In other words, we are to reach behind us because they're lagging in the back or behind, and to pull them up by to bootstrap, to give them the encouragement to run on. See what this end is going to be. Am I my brother's keeper? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Certainly we have had a high time in the Lord this morning, going into the holiday season. Certainly, Father, we thank you for the words that were spoken this morning in the sermon. We thank you for the scripture that has been read this morning. We
We thank you for everything that has taken place in your eyesight this morning. And then we pray that you are pleased with what goes on here at Caesarea. The doors of the church is open. The doors of the church we know that was open over the 2,000 years ago, and certainly Christ gave the invitation, as well as we continue to give an invitation to a lost and a dying world. To inform them that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is the eternal life. And then we're asking you this morning, if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, now is the time to step out on faith, to come down here to the front, give your hand to the preacher, and give your heart to God. Now, how you may come is by a letter from another church. Also, you may come based on your Christian experience. And thirdly, you may come as a candidate looking for baptism. Amen. You may come in those three ways, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And everyone is satisfied this morning with your personal relationship with him, then we have, as they say, a saved house. The time has come now where it's winding down. And before I give the benediction this morning, I just want to let the congregation know that you did well. Celestial Choir, Sister Rhea, you sung to the glory of God this morning. You put a tear in my eye, and I know that as God will continue to bless you, he will continue to bless this church. And I know once you receive your tools, you're going to sing to the glory of God. And I want to put the angelic choir on notice right now. As I stand down here and as they sing up there, I'm putting y'all on notice that some of these Caesarea people are coming and taking and claiming your job. And you're going to have to leave that songwriting position or the singing position up there on that angelic choir and take a second role. Amen? Amen. Your jobs are at stake. And I believe that if you continue to sing, if you don't sing to the glory of God, watch out. Caesarea is on his way. Hallelujah. This morning. And certainly, finally, before I close, I want to say next Sunday is Communion Sunday. Next Sunday is Communion Sunday. And next Sunday also is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday. Normally on the Communion Sunday, we usually wear white anyway. But because of the fact that it's Pentecost Sunday, I'm not going to impose, but I just want to bring it to your attention. If you can, try to come white next Sunday. It not only is the communion, but it is the receiving and the indwelling of the third person of the Godhead that we will be receiving on that Sunday, Pentecost. It's the Sunday day. Tell me that Peter preached and over 3,000 came to the church on that Sunday because he was filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, Jesus asked him three different times, if you love me, if you love me, if you love me, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. And lastly, I have been invited to a Reunion Baptist Church at 3 p.m. next Sunday to bring a word for the Most Merciful High and Grand Lodge on its St. John's Day to stand before the masses and to preach and to proclaim the word of God. They called last night and asked me to send a resume. And I said, I didn't think all of that was really needed. To be sending all of this stuff, but I ain't all of that in a bag of chips. You asked me to come, I'm coming. However, I'm coming not as Walter Scott Thomas. I'm coming not as Clifford Johnson, but I'm coming as Bishop Calvin Burgess. So hear ye he as he comes. And if you come next Sunday looking for either one of those two, then you coming to the wrong place. Even you go to West Baltimore or go to East Baltimore, and perhaps you'll find them there. But Calvin will be there on Drew Hill Avenue in the 1200 block in Union, who was the forerunner for Union Memorial Baptist Church years ago. Union Memorial Baptist Church is a branch. I branched away from Union years ago into Westminster, to the Westminster year, over 100 years ago when they organized up there, branching off from Union. So I've been a prime member at Union Memorial, and now I'm going to preach at the home church. May not get there anymore, but I'm going to do what thus says the Lord on that Sunday. Amen? And it's a certain year. You want to come out, your course, and they invite you to come. And I didn't want to go with a whole lot of this and a whole lot of that to preach 2 or 3 hours. I just wanted to say a few words and get out of there, as I got to preach next Sunday morning as well. But whatever the Lord desire, not my will, his will be done. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And as we always say on a Sunday, we want to thank each and every one that tuned in this morning by whatever means, the ways that you tuned into the broadcast. We pray and hope that you will come back and visit with us again here at Cicerea Christian Community Chapel down here at 121 in the historic Turner Station area. And as we say in closing, again on the Sunday, remember to go through the posters. Probably won't have time tomorrow because you'll be out there cooking them hamburgers and hot dogs and that chicken on the grill. But during the course of the week, go back over and look at chapter 15 of Romans, verses 1 through 7. And if you have time, go and look at Jude, St. Jude. Read Jude verses, the first chapter, verses 1 also, including I believe it was verse number 7. And as we say every Sunday, we leave this place. Remember this, if you don't remember anything else, that love is God and God is love.
Said I pray and I pray until I found the Lord. I kept on praying until I found my Lord. I pray and I pray until I found the Lord. Said I just couldn't sleep at night until I found the Lord of my soul. Have to hang on. I wish to have a witness until a little town called Tyler, Texas. I used to hear mama saying this. You know what she said? Let me see your hand.
Thank you.